Rockout is still cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God.
What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE podcast on this Friday, October 1st. As a hockey fan, I am absolutely thrilled that October is has come around, and I'm sure for all you sports fans right now, whether you're a baseball fan and the playoffs are coming up, the football season is well underway, basketball's right around the corner, obviously, like I just said, if you're a hockey fan like me, I just love this time of year as a sports fan, and also as a wrestling fan, because we are starting to inch closer towards Survivor Series, and although it has ultimately become a glorified bragging rights in the past 4 or 5 years or so, I still have always really liked that pay-per-view and the format of 5-on-5 elimination matches. But before then, we got the infamous Crown Jewel pay-per-view that we have to stop along the way. But before we get to that, we got our rivalry today, and that is once again, and I believe this is 4 or 5 weeks in a row now, going back to 2003, to review Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho that ultimately culminated at WrestleMania 19. And this was one of the more impactful programs and rivalries I think that Chris Jericho ever had in his career while with the WWE. And I think that's saying something because of the fact that he was the undisputed champion going into the WrestleMania prior to this in 2002 at WrestleMania 18. So on the surface, you may look at his career as a whole and be like, well, his biggest program and rivalry was that against Triple H, the only time he ever walked into WrestleMania as the undisputed world champion and main evented a show. But when you really dig deep and you realize how much time and effort and storyline building WWE put into it, his program with Shawn Michaels that started following the Armageddon pay-per-view in 2002 really is almost second to none in a lot of ways when you truly break down the career of Chris Jericho. And like I said, it started after Armageddon 2002, and if you guys recall, that pay-per-view culminated with Triple H regaining the World Heavyweight Championship and dropping Shawn Michaels back into, not obscurity, because he had just come back from, you know, retirement for the better part of 5 years, and it just somewhat left him in a bit of no man's land. Because where were you going to go from here with Shawn Michaels? He had not been around for pretty much the entirety of the Attitude Era, aside from that the first year. And then he comes back, he has a program with Triple H that really was low-hanging fruit, and wins the World Championship in the first ever Elimination Chamber, and then just has an excellent, historic Three Stages of Hell match, and ultimately drops the championship. But now you really didn't have a clear direction and path to go down with Shawn Michaels now that he was away from Triple H. You know, he had only been back with the company for about 6 months or so. And aside from his brief stint with the, the watered down version of the NWO, for lack of better terms, he had been 100% tied into Triple H. But then following the pay-per-view and the Monday Night Raw that directly followed it, you had Shawn Michaels come to the ring and address the crowd, but was rudely interrupted by Chris Jericho, who had some choice words for the Heartbreak Kid.
All these ass clowns came here to see you, huh?
Oh,
the ass clowns are out first. Uh-uh. All these ass clowns came here to see Chris Jericho, the king of the world.
There you go.
You heard it from the it's because... You jackoffs think because I'm more athletic than you. I'm more charismatic than you, Sean. And most importantly of all, I'm better looking than you have ever been.
Yeah, especially that goatee. Look, got a rubber band around his
face. Behold the true sexy boy.
Come on, Derek. Who do you think's more sexy?
Oh, stop it.
Oh, you think Sean is more sexy? I don't think I should judge that. I'm not a qualified judge in that category.
So you think Sean might be
disrespectful? This whole thing's disrespectful. It's not about who's sexy or who's pretty or who's charismatic. Everybody's got one. Some people are one.
In all seriousness, Sean, nobody was more excited to see HBK return to the ring than me. I mean, last night at Armageddon, Heartbreak Kid versus Triple H, 2 out of 3 falls in a death-defying match, and Sean, what a match it was. What an awesome performance you put on, Sean. The heart and the courage that you showed the world was off the charts. And not only was it awesome, it was also sad. It was very, very sad, Sean. I'll tell you the reason why. Because the HBK of old would have defied the odds. You would have silenced the skeptics, Sean. You would have walked out of the arena still the WWE World Champion. But instead, the Shawn Michaels standing before me right now lost. Sean, you're a loser. And it's embarrassing, not just for you, but more importantly, it's embarrassing for me. Because you're the main reason why I wanted to become a WWE superstar in the first place. Sean, you're the main reason why I wanted to be a WWE champion. Sean, you were my hero. Now look what you've been reduced to. Face it, Sean, you're finished. You're finished. You're not the showstopper anymore. For you now, the show is over. You're damaged goods. You're so vulnerable right now, it's pathetic. I could kick your ass right now if I wanted to. But you know what? I'm not even gonna waste my time because last night you proved that HBK really does stand for has been Kid.
Oh! Wow! Shawn Michaels almost took Jericho's head off!
Well, Jericho cuts, as you heard, a relatively lengthy promo trashing Shawn Michaels, and he gets a sweet chin music for his troubles. And this was back in December. So you want to talk about long-term booking. That's what WWE had in mind for this particular program between HBK and Chris Jericho. And over the course of the next couple weeks, you had them separate and come back, and then separate and come back. And at this point, Shawn Michaels really wasn't a consistent wrestler for WWE. I don't think he had wrestled on Monday Night Raw since returning to the company. And just my own personal opinion here, I don't know this to be true or whatnot. I don't know if HBK was even sure, or WWE for that matter, was even sure if he was going to come back full-time like he ultimately did right up until 2010. Because it sure as hell kind of seemed that he was leading a bit of a part-timer type of schedule here. He wasn't having matches on Monday Night Raw. He really wasn't building any type of program with anyone but Chris Jericho. And that's kind of like what you see from a part-timer, right? They'll come back selectively, not wrestle on network television, and they have a long-term build with one particular guy to a big pay-per-view, in this case, the biggest of them all, WrestleMania. But at the beginning of January, we have Shawn Michaels basically challenge Chris Jericho and say that if you want to prove that you are the absolute best, you should enter yourself number one into the Royal Rumble, because that's what Shawn Michaels did. And I want to say it was 1996 or 95 that he entered number one and went on to win it all. And obviously this was before, or 1 year prior to, Chris Benoit doing the same thing. So HBK challenges Jericho to enter himself number one into the 2003 Royal Rumble to prove to everyone that he is the best. Jericho mulls it over, and you could tell that he was really struggling with this decision right up around this point. And he ultimately asks it from Vince McMahon the week following. But lo and behold, Vince McMahon says, well, you can have any spot you want if you win your match tonight, except for number one, because HBK has already taken that number. So Jericho, obviously pissed, goes out, wins his match, and then enters himself number two to start with HBK. And to be honest, number one and number two, it's basically the same thing. You guys are both starting in the match at the same time. That's why I don't really understand why they don't talk about, let's say, Rey Mysterio when he won the Rumble in 2006. He came in number two, but for all intents and purposes, they're both number one. Number one isn't in the match for any longer than number two is, and vice versa for that matter. So I guess at this point, you think that you're building towards a Royal Rumble that's going to be started off with almost like a mini classic between Jericho and HBK. And you have to understand that Jericho at this time was almost kind of developing like HBK in the mid to late 1990s. Like the very snarky heel coming out with very flamboyant costumes and clothes and really just a slimy heel. He had Christian as his lackey slash tag team partner, kind of like HBK had Triple H. So there were a lot of parallels between the modern day Jericho and the HBK of 6 to 7 years prior. So when the Rumble comes around, you truly think that you are going to have this awesome clash to open up the Rumble between entrant number one being HBK and entrant number two being Y2J. But when HBK comes to the ring and Jericho's music hits, he is in for a rude awakening.
Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, weighing 227 pounds, Chris Jericho!
Wait a minute, that's Chris Jericho, that's it, Chris Jen! As a tag team partner, Chris, wait a minute, look behind, look at Shawn Michaels! And a low blow by Jericho, coming in, Chris, it was a distraction. And Michaels is the victim of a low blow. Now, in the Royal Rumble match, there are no pinfalls, no submissions, no countouts, and no disqualification.
Well, we were all victims of that distraction. Christian shows up out of the entertainment. Where the hell did Jericho come from?
Jericho apparently came through the crowd, as best I can tell, and Jericho trying to make himself famous here, the first ever undisputed champion. He's got 90 seconds to do whatever he wants to Shawn Michaels. And again, no disqualifications,
Only one way to be eliminated in the Royal Rumble, and that's to go over the top rope with both feet touching the floor.
Oh, Jericho and Miz! Oh my gosh! Jericho and Miz!
He's always admired and emulated Shawn Michaels, but you never know it from that five stairs shot. I don't know if
So, Christian comes out as Jericho, distracts HBK, and allows Jericho to hit the low blow on Shawn Michaels from behind. He assaults HBK, cracks him over the head with the chair, busts him open, and pretty much before HBK could even get on his feet and know what the hell is happening, Jericho eliminates him. And lo and behold, later on in the match, Shawn Michaels runs back to the ring and so on and so forth. So that is really where this program started picking up steam, right? Because before this, you kind of just had Shawn Michaels challenging Chris Jericho. Like, you want to be the best, you really just have to prove it to everyone. And Jericho, I guess, had some legs to stand on, the first ever undisputed champion just a year prior to this. So you kind of, for a bit, thought that those words were resonating with Chris Jericho leading up to the Rumble. Like, when Shawn Michaels cut the promo and said, you have all the tools and you just have to go in there and prove to everyone with beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the best in the company, put yourself number one. You really think that Jericho is maybe buying into what HBK is selling. But when HBK appoints himself the number one entrant, it enrages Jericho. And you heard Jericho saying, like, oh, you think you're smart, you SOB, because you're number one. And Jericho just goes ballistic. And that's when you really had Jericho picking up steam here as this heel that you think at this point is bound to be on a collision course with Shawn Michaels. But they really were letting you want this. Like, they didn't rush it right away. And that's why between Rumble and No Way Out, which was the following pay-per-view in my hometown of Montreal, Quebec, Canada, you got interactions between the two, but Jericho was still invested in other programs here. First, you had him in the match with Test, where he inadvertently knocks out Stacy Keibler with a steel chair shot. So first you have that, and you have that whole program with Test, or that short-lived program. Then you have a number one contenders match between him and Scott Steiner for the number one contendership at No Way Out, which he ultimately loses. Then him and Shawn Michaels finally collide again in a tag team match where you have HBK tag up with actually Jeff Hardy against Christian and Jericho in a no-holds-barred tag team contest on Monday Night Raw. And I believe, I may be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure this was Shawn Michaels' first match on Monday Night Raw upon returning to the company. And even at that, he really didn't wrestle a whole lot. He was in jeans and a t-shirt the whole time. He was handcuffed to the bottom turnbuckle for, I would say, 75% of that match. Finally gets himself loose and then ultimately wins with Jeff Hardy. Then at No Way Out, you have Jeff Hardy and Jericho have a match, which Jericho wins. Jericho won't break the walls of Jericho following his victory. HBK runs out to the ring to a chorus of boos from the Montreal faithful, who for obvious reasons have always detested HBK. And then once No Way Out is done and you're really on the road to WrestleMania, that's when it almost becomes clear, like, okay, these guys ultimately have to collide now. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. These guys have to collide at WrestleMania. But they make us wait a bit, you know, right into March, up until Chris Jericho finally challenges HBK to the one-on-one match at WrestleMania to find out who will be the better man. And eventually, Chris Jericho will get his answer.
Yeah.
Awesome out there, and suddenly comes in and snatches a victory away from Kane and Rob Van Dam.
This is a huge tag team victory for Jericho and Christian over Kane and RVD. But remember, it's Jericho who bloodied Shawn Michaels last week, who challenged Shawn Michaels. Hey, stay on the gap! Look out! Some sweet chin music! Some sweet chin music! You can hear all the way to Sarasota, Florida. What a shot! Has been challenged for WrestleMania.
I'll see you at WrestleMania, boy.
Did you hear that, Taylor?
I heard it. Shawn Michaels just said, I'll see you at WrestleMania, boy. He's talking to the...
So, there you have it. Shawn Michaels, sweet chin music's Jericho's head clean off his shoulders, as JR would say. After, as JR alluded to, getting bloodied the week prior and challenged by Chris Jericho. And this was a really historic moment in a lot of ways, because this was the first time that HBK would be back on the WrestleMania stage in 6 years. Or no, 5 years, pardon me. 5 years that Shawn Michaels had not competed at WrestleMania. And for one of the best of all time, that's a pretty significant gap. And for Shawn Michaels to come back and his first match to be against Chris Jericho at WrestleMania really kind of tells you, a few things, to be honest. Number one, what the company thought of Chris Jericho. And that's kind of hard to say, right? Because for the better part of a year now, he had kind of been dumbed down to a tag team wrestler. He had formed a pretty underrated tag team with Christian, although he was the bona fide star of the group. In this particular clip I just played, he had just won a match with Christian against Kane and RVD. Side note, really underrated team between Rob Van Dam and Kane. And if you go back and look at some of their promos, it is dangerously similar to the chemistry and dynamic we now see with Matt Riddle and Randy Orton. Honestly, I think that I'm not sure if WWE is doing this, but it seems like they are looking back on some of the dynamic that they had with Rob Van Dam and Kane back in this time and using that approach with Riddle and Randy Orton in the present day. But that's neither here nor there. But Jericho was an established star, in my opinion. I think that in the invasion angle in 2001, where he had the program with The Rock, he beat The Rock in Austin in the same night at Vengeance in 2001, and then you had him really become a breakout star, in large part, personally, I think, because of the absence of Triple H for the entirety of the invasion angle. And then in 2002, he kind of slides back down the card, and people were kind of waiting for him to break back out. Because in my mind, at this point, Jericho was almost like the parallel to Kurt Angle, to what Kurt Angle was over on SmackDown. Kurt Angle was the bigger star. You know, at this point, he was the WWE champion. He was going into WrestleMania as the champion in the match that would eventually close out the show. But in terms of what they meant to each brand, I think that they were running parallels here. I truly, truly do. And to see Jericho be put in a significant match when I was sure that he was going to maybe be destined for a tag team contest, maybe like, I don't know, himself and Christian versus HBK and Rob Van Dam or whatever, or you add a third guy to each side, like Kane on the babyface side or whatever on the heel side. But then to actually be put in a one-on-one match with Shawn Michaels really tells you that, okay, they still had big plans for Chris Jericho at this point. Now, ultimately, Jericho would never win another world championship until he returned to the company in 2007. So maybe they lost faith in Jericho following this program with HBK. I'm not quite sure what happened here. But at this point, for him to go one-on-one with HBK in HBK's first match back at WrestleMania and probably his most significant match aside from his trilogy with Triple H at Armageddon and at his initial return at SummerSlam, kind of really told you that maybe now HBK was gearing up for a full-time return. Because although he had been a consistent character and had consistent appearances on network TV for the better part of 6 months at this point, you were still kind of waiting for Shawn Michaels to be an everyday wrestler, wrestle at all the B-level pay-per-views, wrestle at every single Monday Night Raw, maybe wrestle some dart matches. But at this point, it was just like he would wrestle at the big pay-per-views in big championship matches, the Royal Rumble. He would show up, super kick someone, take a beating on Raw. But aside from that, he really wasn't consistently in the ring. So when you figured out that he was going into a one-on-one match with Jericho, at least in my mind, it signaled that that was him coming back full-time, all systems go. And you could say, well, part-timers come back all the time and just have one-off matches. But not in this respect, because this match, if I'm not mistaken, went on third or fourth. So Shawn Michaels wasn't coming back for one of the main events on the card. He was coming back for one of the mid-card matches here. And for him to come back for a mid-card match, at least to myself, it signaled that another full-time run was on the horizon and something that ultimately came to be true. When the match ultimately played out, an excellent match between the two, one of the most underrated contests in the history of WrestleMania, in my opinion, and the match closed it out, we got to see one of the more infamous finishes to a WrestleMania contest. And not because of the result, but more because of the antics after the contest.
The impact, but Jericho's still able to kick out after that impact. Shawn just grasping at any part of Jericho he can get his hands on. Fatigue and pain. Gotta be a wreck in the body. Oh, both these magnificent athletes. This has been one hell of a wrestling match here at WrestleMania 19. Jericho's upside down. Unbelievable velocity. Oh, he came back and landed on his feet, but Michaels is out. He landed on his feet. Michaels with a roll up.
So Shawn Michaels gets the win, and a good example of a roll-up being used at an opportune time, because Shawn Michaels, I think, was the best at using roll-ups to win big matches in realistic fashions. And this one on the stage of WrestleMania, because it was such a damn good wrestling match, it made so much sense for him to be, how would you say, able to finally close out the match and get the one-up on Jericho via roll-up. But them doubling down on the Chris Jericho heel character, I think was a very good underrated move, because we see it all the time that, you know, the heel finally just embraces with the baby face, kind of like Hogan and Rock, and, you know, they celebrate at the end of the match. But them doubling down on the Jericho heel character, who on Monday Night Raw, aside from Triple H and the Evolution faction, he was the biggest heel on the brand, I think, unless you want to count Eric Bischoff, who was the GM. So it was a good move, in my opinion, to keep Jericho as a heel. And, you know, these two had did revisit their rivalry in the later years in 2008 and 2009 when Jericho was world champion. And I believe they had a last man standing match. They collided at No Mercy as well. But this was, in my opinion, the most significant part of their entire rivalry. Because, A, it got Shawn Michaels back at WrestleMania. That's the first thing. After a five-year absence, Shawn Michaels was back at WrestleMania and caps it off with a victory. And in my opinion, it sparked his full-time run back up. Because the first calendar year that he was back, in my opinion, it was kind of touch and go, wasn't wrestling on Monday Night Raw. But after this match, it really felt that they hit the ground running with Shawn Michaels as a full-time competitor back on Monday Night Raw. And second of all, I think it was probably Chris Jericho's biggest match ever at a WrestleMania. And that's saying something, because he was in several world championship matches on the grandest stage of them all. He main evented with Triple H at 18. He had an excellent underrated match with CM Punk in the Chicago Street Fight at WrestleMania 28. But I think this match was so damn good and so important for both competitors that it is bar none Jericho's most important WrestleMania match in the history of his career. And I think one of the reasons it doesn't get talked about is because this WrestleMania was stacked, and in a lot of ways, you could make the argument that this is the most underrated WrestleMania of all time. You had Rock Austin in the final match of their trilogy. You had Triple H versus Booker T, which in and of itself did not get enough credit. You had McMahon versus Hogan, which was 20 years in the making. And then you had Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle to close out the show. And this was like a perfect storm of the last few remnants of the Attitude Era merging with the Ruthless Aggression Era. Because obviously we never saw Austin wrestle again. This was pretty much the end of The Rock's full-time run with the company, aside from his brief program with Goldberg. But all in all, I think this was just an excellent WrestleMania, an underrated WrestleMania, and it is very indicative of that Shawn Michaels and Y2J was just an under to mid-card match at this particular showcase of the Immortals. Well, anyway, guys, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Jericho versus HBK. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio, or you can email him at realwepodcast@gmail.com. As always, guys, you can catch me on Mondays with Matt on the What If segment. And until then, I'll talk to you next week.